Let me ask you something before we even get started. How much fuel do you need to land with? Not how much you'd like. Not how much feels comfortable. The actual number. The one written into the regulations, because if you're like most pilots I've flown with, you've got a gut feeling about it, and your gut feeling is probably close, but close isn't the same as knowing. I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern here on Radio Hangar. Today we're going to take one small paragraph out of the Federal Aviation Regulations and really live inside it for a few minutes, because this is one of those rules that sounds boring on the check ride and turns deadly quiet in the cockpit when you're not ready for it. Fuel running out of it. And the rule that's supposed to keep you from ever getting there. Before we dig in, a quick word about some folks I genuinely like. Our friends at AviationSoul.com make challenge coins for every step of this journey we're all on. First solo, there's a coin for that. Private pilot, instrument rating, commercial? They've got you covered. Flying is a long road with a lot of quiet milestones that nobody throws you a party for. A coin is a nice way to mark one AviationSoul.com. All right, let's walk through this together. The regulation is 14 CFR 9151 in the book. It's titled Fuel Requirements for Flight in VFR Conditions, and it's short, almost insultingly short for how much trouble it prevents. Here's what it actually says in plain language. You may not begin a flight under visual flight rules unless, considering wind and forecast weather conditions, you have enough fuel to fly to your first point of intended landing. And then, after that, to fly for a certain amount of extra time at normal cruising speed during the day, that extra time is 30 minutes. At night, it's 45 minutes. That's the whole rule. Get to where you're going and still have 30 minutes in the tanks in the daytime or 45 at night flying at normal cruise. Now, notice a couple of things right away, because the examiner is looking for exactly these. First, it says your first point of intended landing, not your final destination. If you're planning to stop for fuel halfway, the reserve applies to that fuel stop, not to the airport three legs down the road. The rule follows your plan, leg by leg, second. And this is the one people forget. It says at normal cruising speed. Your 30 minutes isn't measured against some efficient, throttled back, best endurance number you found on page 40 of the pilot's operating handbook. It's normal cruise, the way you actually fly. And third, the most important word in the whole regulation, and it's a word that isn't even in there. Minimum. This is a minimum. A floor. The lowest amount of fuel the government will let you legally leave the ground with. It is not a target, it is not a plan. Nobody who's been doing this a long time plans to land with exactly 30 minutes and one drop. Here's something I wish someone had told me when I was training. The regulation tells you when you become a criminal. It does not tell you when you become safe. Those are two very different lines, and there's a lot of daylight between them. Let me put some real numbers on this, because abstractions don't fly airplanes. Say you're renting a Cessna 172. A common training version burns somewhere around 8 gallons an hour in cruise. Round it a little for easy math. 30 minutes of reserve at 8 gallons an hour is 4 gallons. 4 gallons. Go stand next to your airplane sometime and picture 4 gallons sloshing around at the bottom of two wing tanks, split between the left and the right, on a bumpy day, in an airplane that's maybe not sitting perfectly level in a turn. 4 gallons is the legal line. That is the amount the rule considers acceptable to have left. Does that feel like a lot to you? It never did to me. Now here's where it gets sneaky, and this is the part I really want you to hear. That number, that 4 gallons, that 30 minutes, is built on a fantasy. It's built on the idea that your engine burns exactly what the book says, that your tanks hold exactly what the placard says, that the winds are exactly what the forecast said, and that you flew exactly the route you planned. Perfect burn, perfect winds, perfect flying. When was the last time you had a perfect anything? Let's walk through how a legal, careful, rule-following pilot ends up sweating on final anyway. Picture a cross country. You've done your flight planning the way the ACS wants you to. You've got your fuel burn worked out. You planned your route. You checked the winds aloft. You did the math, and on paper you arrive with 45 minutes in the tanks. Above the daytime minimum. Legal, comfortable. You sign it off and you go? Then reality shows up. The winds aloft forecast said you'd have a 10-knot tailwind on the way out. Instead, you've got a 15-knot headwind. That happens all the time. Forecasts are forecasts. So your ground speed is lower than planned, your legs take longer, and you're burning fuel the whole time you're behind schedule. Then approach gives you a reroute, or the airport you're going to has a runway favoring the other direction, and you fly an extra few miles around the pattern, or there's traffic, and you get vectored. Little bites. Nobody bite is a big deal. Then you get to the destination and, oh, there's an airplane disabled on the runway. Go around. Now you're climbing back up, burning fuel at the highest rate the engine ever burns it, and you're heading somewhere else. Every one of those things is normal. Every one of them is a Tuesday. And every one of them ate into that 45 minutes you were so proud of. Now, that comfortable pad is 15 minutes, and 15 minutes is where pilots start doing math with a shaky pencil. This is why the old hands will tell you the reserve is not for reserve. The reserve is for the day that doesn't go according to plan, and no day goes fully according to plan. So let me give you the way I want you to think about fuel, and it's a little different from the regulation. The regulation gives you a legal minimum. I want you to fly to a personal minimum, and I want yours to be bigger. For a lot of us, a good personal rule of thumb is 1 hour of fuel in the tanks when you land, not 30 minutes. An hour. Some folks fly to a fixed number of gallons and never let the tanks go below it. Whatever shape it takes, the point is the same. You build in a margin that the FAA doesn't require because you have learned that the FAA's number is the number where things start going wrong, not the number where you're safe. And here's how you actually use it in flight, because a personal minimum you only think about on the ground is worthless. You set a decision point before you go. You say out loud to yourself, if I reach such and such airport and I'm not showing at least X on the gauges, I am stopping for fuel, period. No debate with myself in the cockpit. Because I promise you, the pilot who runs the tanks dry almost never decided to. They negotiated. They said, it's probably fine, it's only 20 more miles, the gauge is a little conservative anyway, I don't want to waste time on the ramp. One little reasonable-sounding excuse at a time, all the way to the crash site. Fuel exhaustion is one of the most preventable accidents in all of aviation. The engine doesn't fail, the airplane doesn't break. There is simply nothing left to burn in a machine that was working perfectly, flown by a pilot who was, in almost every case, completely legal at takeoff. Let me hit a few practical things you can take to your very next flight. Trust the tanks over the totalizer. Fuel gauges in light airplanes have a bad reputation, and some of it is earned. But you also have your watch and you have your known burn rate. Time times gallons per hour is the most honest fuel gauge in the airplane. If you took off with full tanks and you know your burn, you always have a good estimate of what's left. No matter what the needle is doing, know your time aloft. Know it cold. Second, lean the engine, but understand what that does to your planning. Proper leaning saves real fuel, and you should learn to do it well. But don't plan a flight that only works if you nail your leaning perfectly, because the day you're distracted is the day you fly rich and burn more than the book. Third, respect the difference between usable and total fuel. The tanks hold more than you can actually use. There's a little bit at the bottom the engine can't reliably draw, especially in maneuvering flight. When you do your fuel math, you use usable fuel and it's on the placard and in the handbook. That 30-minute reserve gets a lot thinner if you accidentally counted fuel your engine can't even reach. And fourth, nighttime is 45 minutes for a reason, and I'd honestly pad it even more. At night, your options shrink. If that engine goes quiet over dark terrain, you can't see the field you'd glide to. Give yourself more fuel and more margin after the sun goes down, not less. The rule already asks for 15 extra minutes at night. Take the hint and then take more. Now, one more piece, because I don't want to leave you thinking the regs are only there to trap you. There's a companion idea worth knowing. When you fly under instrument flight rules, the fuel rule is stricter. Different regulation, 91.167, and it makes you carry enough to get to your destination, then to your alternate airport if you need one, and then still fly for 45 minutes beyond that. The rules get more demanding as the flying gets more demanding. That's the pattern all through the regulations. Once you start reading them as a system instead of a list of things to memorize, they're not random. They're somebody's hard-won experience written down so you don't have to learn it the way they did. So here's the whole thing, boiled down to what I want stuck in your head. 91.51, day, 30 minutes of reserve at normal cruise. Night, 45, that's the law. But the law is the floor, not the plan. Plan to land with an hour. Set your decision point before you leave the ground. Trust your time and your burn rate. And never ever negotiate with yourself about fuel in the air. Because that argument has a way of ending badly. My thanks to the FAA, whose regulations we walk through today, and to the folks at aviationsoul.com for backing this show. If you want to go deeper on anything we cover, we're at radiohangar.com. Go top off the tanks a little sooner than you think you need to. Your future self, on some headwind afternoon that didn't go according to plan, is going to be awfully glad you did. I'm Pattern. Keep it in the pattern, and I'll see you next time.